Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for you as usual. And Jim, as we look to the 2014 elections, most of our attention, of course, and rightly so in many respects, is who's going to be controlling the Senate when all is said and done. Republicans need a net gain of 6 seats. Right now, it's looking like they at least have a shot of that. But another key factor, of course, is Republicans keeping the House, and also how many of those Republican governors that were elected in the big wave year of 2010 can get reelected. And that's very important heading into a presidential election year in 2016 and having those resources at hand for the Republican nominee. You're looking at Ohio with John Kasich. Scott Walker in Wisconsin is going to be a big one. And there's several others around the country, including Florida, where Rick Scott barely won 4 years ago. And now he's running against Republican turned independent turned Democrat Charlie Crist. And most of the recent polls early this year showed Crist ahead by either a healthy or narrow margin. But now a new one from Sunshine State News has Rick Scott actually ahead, 45-44. Obviously, that's within the margin of error. Only 800 registered voters. It's not likely voters. But still, if you look at the trend of polls in recent months, it's gone from a relatively healthy Crist lead to at least very competitive, if not Rick Scott pulling slightly ahead here.
I posted this up on Campaign Spot. I've had a few Florida Republicans say to me, yeah, let's not break out the party hats yet. They have some questions about the poll and whether it has the right number of cell phone folks. But the trend is our friend. And remember, this is, you know, for much of his governorship, Rick Scott has had really kind of, you know, meh to bad poll numbers. And it looks like they're getting better at the right time for him. Worth noting that the Florida economy apparently really is rebounding quite strongly. Unemployment, they've quite a bit of job creation in the past year. So he's got a decent record to run on. That's good. And when you throw in the news out of New Hampshire, there are a couple of races that Republicans thought were, you know, not looking so great for them that might look actually better than we thought.
In referring to New Hampshire, you've got Scott Brown about to officially announce. He announced the Exploratory Committee a number of weeks ago. He, of course, was a Massachusetts senator. Now he's running in New Hampshire against Democrat Gene Shaheen. He's by far the most competitive Republican candidate, according to the polls up there. He had been behind, though, by pretty high single digits, at least, in recent weeks. But a new Republican Governors Association poll, and you can wonder why the Republican governors are pulling a Senate race. But nonetheless, they've got Scott Brown up 49-44. And this is really the only poll at this point that showing that major flip from the Shaheen lead. But looks like the people that are behind Scott Brown are very much enthusiastic about voting for Scott Brown. And with Gene Shaheen, not so much. And of course, she's got some votes she's got to defend, which even New Hampshire, which has trended a little bit more liberal in some areas, they still don't like big government up there. And Gene Shaheen's going to have something to answer for.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those things where we shouldn't be breaking out the party hats yet, but it is a good sign. Most notably that there was a concern about whether the Scott Brown carpetbagger issue would kind of dog him and whether he'd have a problem with people saying, look, you represented Massachusetts until 2012. So yes, you have a vacation home here. That's very nice, but you're not one of us. And if this poll is to be believed, that's probably not going to be a major issue. But we don't know exactly why the Republican Governors Association was polling on this race. I think we have it's a pretty good shot that the issue is that they wanted to see how competitive they could get that governor's race and whether Scott, we have too many Scots in this segment. They're going to merge together into Rick Scott Brown, and he will be the former male model who looks like Lex Luthor. that basically Scott Brown might have be, you know, kind of an energizing factor for Republicans across the board. I think it's, you know, probably not quite proven yet. Relatively early in the cycle, you just want to set up competitive races and hope that comes as the fall approaches. The news cycle works for you. The political environment works for you, which it certainly looks like it's going to be right now. And you just kind of put yourself in a circumstance where your guys are as competitive as possible in as many places as possible. And it's looking pretty good for them. So, you know, again, don't break out the party hats, but if you wanted to see Republican wins in these races, these are the sorts of poll results you'd want to see.
And why might Gene Shaheen be vulnerable in a state where she was obviously elected governor a number of times? Well, here's a reason as we head to our bad martini, knowing that Gene Shaheen voted for Obamacare back in 2010. This is from Forbes. Health insurance premiums are showing the sharpest increases perhaps ever, according to a survey of brokers who sell coverage in the individual and small group market. Morgan Stanley's healthcare analyst conducted the proprietary survey of 148 brokers. The April survey shows the largest acceleration in small and individual group rates in any of the 12 prior quarterly periods, when it has been conducted. Some of the states here are really looking at huge, huge increases. Delaware, the vice president's home state, at 100%. New Hampshire, 90% premium increases. Indiana, 54. California, 53. Connecticut, 45. Michigan, 36. Florida, 37. Georgia, 29. Kentucky, 29. Pennsylvania, 28. So you've got folks either doubling or 50% higher, or even 25% higher for a lot of families is just crippling. And these are big states, key states politically, and there's a lot of folks that are going to be on the defense. That would be the political good martini out of this, Jim. But the bad news is the straightforward news, and that's that people are suffering because of this law.
Presuming these numbers are accurate, and at this point, no one's been able to put together a strong counter argument for this data. Obamacare is every bit the disaster we thought it was going to be. And, you know, we, the Republicans, have very good reason to say, look, Barack Obama sold this thing by saying, look, it's going to take down your premiums by $2,500. Nationally, the number was looking like it was going to go up an additional $2,100 a year for the average family. You'll be able to find some success stories. There will be some people who will have lower premiums, but for most people, because there's a whole bunch of people who are sick and old and you know, costing more in terms of health insurance, they're going to end up, you know, costing insurers more, so premiums go up for everybody else. If this is the case, then Obamacare really is doomed. And everyone's like, oh, repeal is impossible. No, because like you can't say, of those 7 million, you know, take out the folks who aren't going to pay their premiums, take out the folks who are just replacing plans that they had that they liked. You're just inconveniencing and stressing and causing a financial squeeze on just too many people for this thing to survive. And Republicans will have, I mean, if you're Delaware, I mean, you know, that's a circumstance where a Republican could win Delaware by saying, look, they made a promise. This is going to make your life easier. And it didn't. Instead, it made your life a lot harder. It's time to repeal this thing, start over and do something different. You know, we would need a functioning Republican Party up in Delaware, which it hasn't really had for a good long stretch. The ingredients are there for a Republican comeback in a lot of unusual places because, look, this is a giant unforced error on the part of Democrats, and they own this piece of legislation completely and all the consequences that have come forth from it.
Absolutely. And that list I mentioned, that was for the individual market. Some of these states that I'm about to mention are for the small group plan market. Increases in Pennsylvania, 66%, California, 37%, Indiana, 34%. Kentucky's in there, Michigan, and some others. But at the top of the list, Jim, I hope this is a typo. Washington State, 588%.
If that's the case, the state, everyone in the state's going to go bankrupt. I mean, you just, you know, the state won't be able to function because all of the money will be used up for paying for our health insurance. So you're right. That does sound like just a mind-boggling number that maybe there's some sort of error in the data there. In light of what we've heard and all the various requirements and premium hikes and all the stuff required under this, it's not like we could say, oh, that just can't be, you know, that can't be happening. Welcome to the new reality, and Democrats get to explain that to their constituents and try to convince them that they really are better off than they were before.
Well, if you are disillusioned in your government after that report, I got some more bad news for you in our crazy martini. New study from the Government Accountability Office. It takes 10 different offices at the Department of Health and Human Services to run programs addressing AIDS in minority communities. Autism research is spread out over 11 different agencies. 8 agencies at the Defense Department are looking for prisoners of war and missing in action. And Shriver Air Force Base, or Shriver perhaps, in Colorado, has 8 different satellite control centers to control 10 satellite programs. The report identifies 26 new areas where federal government programs are fragmented, duplicative, overlapping, or just inefficient. Add that to the 162 areas identified in past reports, and Congress has a roadmap for saving tens of billions of dollars a year. That report from USA Today. Jim, yeah, for those who say we just have nowhere to cut, I think their argument's running a little thin here.
Well, this kind of confirms what we've all kind of instinctively known and argued for a long time. It's nice to have specific numbers to go with this. Get ready for a theme you'll be hearing a lot of in the coming months from me, listeners. So I have a book coming out. Comes out in June. It's a comic satire of the federal bureaucracy. It's called The Weed Agency. At its heart, there is no competition for the federal government. At least for a state, if they do an abysmally bad job, there's always a possibility people will move elsewhere. Thankfully, most Americans aren't willing to move elsewhere because they're dissatisfied with the government that they have. The bad news is that there's a consequence, is that, you know, there's less consequence for failures of government and kind of duplicative efforts in areas like these, and waste and mismanagement and a failure to do their jobs. The consequences for failure aren't that bad. Most people who screw up very badly get reshuffled around. There's great fear of firing people for all kinds of reasons, from potential lawsuits to fear of workplace violence to just not wanting the hassle of having to go through it and having to justify the dismissal of someone. So hopefully reports like these will light a fire under some people to get the federal government to working more more efficiently and you know, in better response to you know, take care of the duties that it has and more responsible with taxpayer dollars. But we've learned to not hold our breath on this.
Yeah, it's not going to happen now. You know, even if it did get through the House, I'm sure Harry Reid would blame the effort on the Koch brothers and it would die in the Senate.
Yeah, exactly. So. Yes, you know.
Jim, amazing news. Most of it, unfortunately, horrible. Have a good day.
Same to you, Greg. See you tomorrow.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And please be sure to join us again on Wednesday for the next edition of the 3 Martini Lunch.